Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Maxine's top 10 finalists, Rebecca Wells. Rebecca, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hi there, Steve. How are you going?
I'm really well today. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I'm excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experiences with the January Challenge. Now, Beck, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, you found out that not only did you make the top 50, you made the top 10 of the January Maxine's Challenge. How has the past couple of weeks been for you?
Oh, it's been awesome. That was like, it came as a shock that I got into the top 10. My goal the whole time was to hopefully work really, really hard and make it into the top 50. And when I got that notification like the week before, I was like super stoked that I'd got the top 50. And then my husband and I sat together and we watched the awards night. And it was very, very exciting when I saw my picture come up in the top 10. So super excited.
Well, yeah, you would have been that. Well, firstly, you know, you should be so proud of the result that you've achieved. I'm sure you've inspired so many people to live a healthier life. And that should be, you should be really proud of that.
Yeah.
And then secondly, having the name Rebecca, it's lower in the alphabetical order. So it must have been while you're sitting there watching the top 10 and as Coach Nick and I announced it, it would have been like, oh, okay, there's the B's and, you know, we're up to J's and, oh, I'm getting close to the R's. So that must have been exciting for you.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was done by alphabetical order, but I'm used to being at the bottom of the alphabet now with my surname. But yeah, so we were super excited when we watched it. It was good.
Look, Beck, let's start off by doing a little bit of an introduction about yourselves. Would you like to maybe tell us a little bit about you? So maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Beck?
Yeah, so I am firstly a mum of two kids. I've got two boys, and so I run a tight ship here. So I've got a four-year-old and a seven-year-old, and I am also a registered nurse. I work full-time in a major private hospital here in Adelaide, and I work specifically in a different area like scrub scout anesthetics for cath labs, so patients having cardiac, neuro and vascular surgery. So yes, I've been a nurse for about 10 years. And yeah, so besides from that, I keep very, very busy with my kids and working, and also teach advanced life support casually as well. And I'm studying. Super busy mum.
Super busy mum. Not only are you working full time, you've got two kids under 10, what, 4 and 7.
Yes.
Running a tight ship, you're studying as well, and then you're teaching as well. You're doing all the things. Yeah.
When I say it out loud, it does sound like quite a lot.
It does. And look, I really like the way you know, introduce yourself. And it's interesting to see what the first thing people say. And, you know, for you to say, oh, I first and foremost, I'm a mum, right?
Yeah.
You're doing all these other things. You know, you're working in a hospital, you're a nurse, you're in a very like specialized role as a nurse, you're studying, you're teaching, you're doing all the things, but your big priority is that you're a mum. And that's, you know, beautiful to hear.
Still trying to juggle, like, you know, being able to do everything and then still be like really involved with my kids and stuff. So we try our best. That's all we can do, really.
Now, look, Beck, let's talk about the challenge. So this January challenge was the first challenge you attempted, right?
My first ever challenge.
First ever challenge. So can you tell us a little bit of a story about why you chose to join us for the January challenge? Yeah.
Well, I think that with my kids being a little bit older and I'd like joined a gym, but I was kind of just doing a lot of quickly rush in, rush out sort of cardio, didn't really have a lot of focus at the gym of what I wanted to achieve. And I'd lost a little bit of weight, but I still didn't have that physique that I was looking for. So I think that I started looking into the Maxine's Challenge and I read the past challenges and I seen these incredible results. And I just thought, wow, I'd love to be able to do this and actually see what my body can do. Being a busy mom with two kids, can I actually get these type of results? I kind of thought that maybe it was just in magazines or, you know, I've never been able to achieve anything like this before. So I was super excited just to jump on board. And I was lucky that my husband did the challenge with me as well. So I think because we did it together, it was quite good. But yeah, so just looking at changing my physique, gaining muscle and some strength and just getting those results that I've seen from past challenges.
Yeah, cool. So you were training before you joined the challenge, right? You kind of came out of the gym, those types of things.
Yeah. So mainly like I joined the gym because I was quite overweight after having my kids. I'd put on a stack of weight, something ridiculous, like 30 kilos. So each year I'd sort of lost 10 kilos, just chipping away at it. And then I sort of got to like that 70 kilos and I just sat there for years, sort of not being able to move the weight or really see any results, which was fine because I was happy with that. But then I just wanted to see and do something a little bit more. So that's why I joined the challenge.
Oh, beautiful. And so your partner did the challenge with you.
Yeah, my husband did the challenge too. So for similar reasons, like he'd been going to the gym for a long time, lifting weights and that type of thing. But we love our food and going out and didn't really hone in on our diet enough to see those physical results, I think.
Yeah. It's a common story we see not only within the challenge, but within fitness, where we go to the gym, we are involved in fitness, we're quite athletic, and maybe we kind of look the part where we're slim, we look fit, but we're not to that level that we want to be, right? We might have ambitious goals like, oh, I want the six pack, or I want the toned arms, or I want to feel a certain way. And these goals are completely fine to have. And I'm sure other people would look at you maybe before you started the challenge and went, oh, Beck, I wish I looked like you, but it's okay.
Heaps of people saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's okay to, one, stay in that position, but then it's okay to have these bigger goals. Like, yeah, I want to work hard for something. I want to achieve something quite cool. But, you know, it's awesome to see that you probably use the challenge as something structured to work towards, like a goal to target with.
I think I used to do a lot of yo-yo dieting, and I would jump on the new fad of, yep, let's do keto, or let's do this, or let's do that. But I never really saw any decent, I might lose a little bit of weight, but I never saw the type of results that I've gotten following the Maxine's challenge.
Yeah. So talk to me about that transition. So sometimes people join the challenge and they've come from a similar place to you, where they were yo-yo dieting or jumping from the latest fitness craze. Oh, I like to do yoga, then I want to do body pump, then I go to do Pilates, then now I'm going to do F45, and they jump and jump and jump and jump. What was it like going into something that was like a 12-week structured program? Were you a little bit hesitant at the start, or did you dive completely in and fully commit to it?
I've got to be honest, I was like really super keen and motivated, and I dove straight in. I must say, I think the hardest part was probably getting my head around the fact that I could weight train and get better results than just doing flat out sort of cardio. So pulling back on my cardio sort of classes at the gym and actually following the Maxine's training programs. But then after like that initial, you know, I started to see like the muscle growth, and I actually started to see that I'd actually improved my cardiac output as well, weight training. Mm-hmm. So I seen both sort of results from following the training programs. But I think that was hard to get my head around, that, oh, I don't have to go and burn 5,000 calories in a spin class or in a class where you're jumping around, when I can get better results sort of weight training and focusing on strength.
Yeah. So tell me now, like, what was it like when you made that transition? Were you training at a gym, or were you training at home?
Well, firstly, I must say I was nervous to go into, like, there is a women's section of my gym, but it's really small and there's no free weight sort of and squat racks and things like that. Mm-hmm. We have got a little gym set up at home. So I initially just started like squeezing in these workouts, which was quite easy to do because I worked out there around that 45 minutes to an hour. So I'd do it at home and use the weights that we had here. Luckily, my husband is a welder, so he's made a squat rack here and we had that at home. So I started doing that and just started off with light sort of weights and focusing on my technique and things like that. With my husband, he was able to help me with that, which was good. Mm-hmm. And then once I got a little bit of confidence, I started training with my husband at the gym in the men's sort of section, and had him sort of there with me, and was able to lift a bit more and use the gym rather than what we had at home.
Oh, so good. So good. I think there's lots of fears and anxieties, especially for people who are new to the gym, and especially for women, especially when it's marketed to women that, oh, okay, you go to the cardio section and guys, you go to the weight section. Yes. It's kind of just what's in movies. Yeah. It's what's in the media. It's just what is,
Definitely nerve wracking, but having my husband there with me, and because he sort of had been weight training for a while, so it was nice to have him sort of coaching me a little bit as well. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have gone, but I definitely would have I still go up there by myself now and stuff, but it just took that little bit of time to get comfortable.
No, so good. So what was it like with talking a little bit about the relationship between you and your husband? Did you find that doing the challenge together, were there any like conflicts, or did you find that your relationship was fostered in the challenge?
No, if anything, Steve, it was so good to do it together. It actually brought us closer together because every night we might not see each other a little bit with my shift work and he works a lot as well and the kids, but we'd get together at the end of the night and we'd get on the spreadsheets and we'd go, yeah, how many ticks did you get today? And we'd say, oh, how was your way in? Like, we were super supportive of one another. We'd encourage each other if we were having a hard day or we were struggling or you were tired. So it was actually so good to work as a team. It was really good.
It was so good. I think, again, you know, there's so many fears, anxieties, apprehensions about doing the challenge, maybe with your partner or doing the challenge as a family even. And, you know, sometimes as like a busy mom like yourself, you might feel, oh, if I'm going to do the challenge, I'm going to feel really selfish. I'm doing something for me and I'm not giving my all to my kids or my partner or whatever the situation is. And we often find a similar story to yourself where couples would do the challenge together and it makes their relationship stronger. They have something to do together, right? And they can eat together, they can train together and they go out for walks together and these types of things. So it's cool to see that you went through a similar pathway.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Now, look, Bec, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you might have faced. And I'm sure you've kind of brought them up already. You're being a busy mom, you're doing lots of things. But could you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you might have faced while completing the challenge?
Yeah. So I guess, obviously, most people would probably have this same sort of anxieties about starting the challenges, like the social aspect of things, because you are on that stricter sort of meal plan and, you know, you want to stick to it. And I think that that was a probably one of the biggest challenges was Matt and I just stayed home and missed sort of some occasions that we thought, no, it's not worth it. It's too tempting to just really blow out the challenge. And so we did miss a couple of social occasions. But then saying that, if we did have social occasions, like I had family over and things like that, I would cook the food and then that would give me a challenge approved meal that I knew that Matt and I could eat and everyone else could enjoy it as well. And it just took that temptation out of those social events. Yeah. So that was probably one of the biggest challenges. And just 12 weeks is a long time.
Yeah.
I think when you're sticking to something, but I feel like the challenge worked really well with how it was like week 1 to 4. So I feel like we took it on in those blocks. Mm-hmm. So we'd go, right, let's get through this 1 to 4. Let's get through this next block. And then the last 4 weeks was obviously the hardest because those calories were cut down, but we just stayed super focused and just tried to, if you did have a slip up, which happens, like Easter was really hard. Everyone's eating chocolate. The kids have got all the chocolate under the sun. So that was super hard, but I still had a little bit of chocolate on Easter because I got a bit like, oh, I'm having some. But then I just ate really, really clean for my other meals. And I did a little bit of extra exercise that day and just got straight back on the bandwagon after that lunch. So yeah, that was probably the hardest part, I think.
Yeah. Look, talk to me a little bit about your social situations again. And I'm sure you had to bring up that conversation with maybe some friends that you were you know, catching up with frequently and those sorts of things, or even people in your workplace, right? Did Did you need to have any like tough conversations or conversations that felt awkward saying, oh, you know, I'm doing this thing. Maybe I won't go out for morning tea or maybe I won't go out for brunch. Like, what was that like?
Well, I must say, like, my work crew were super supportive throughout the challenge. Of course, you're going to come across some people like, I did get a lot of, oh, you're looking really skinny. Oh, I can see your bones. Like, you don't want to lose any more weight. And like, all those types of comments towards the end of the challenge. Mm. Oh, why are you eating that? You don't have to eat that. And I sort of just tried to refocus it. It was, oh, you know, I'm doing the challenge. I'm doing it to be really healthy and I feel better. I don't want to eat that food because it makes me not feel good. And so I tried to sort of refocus it. And we had a lot of food at work, nurses, we love food. A lot of our reps bring in like lollies, and when you're on 12-hour shifts and stuff, it's super tempting. But I always just made sure that I had my whole cooler bag full of my breakfast, lunch and dinner and my snacks. And I just reached for those when other people were having the things that I didn't really want to eat. So, but yeah, I did have a few conversations with some colleagues that maybe give some advice or some opinions that aren't very positive, but most of my work colleagues were so good and they were so supportive. So that was really helpful.
No, so good. Let's talk a little bit about your job style, because I can imagine, or I'm making really big assumptions, you're on your feet a lot, you're doing long shifts, you even mentioned like 12-hour shifts and such, and maybe even some potential shift work where you're working into the evenings or in the mornings and those types of things. What was it like on your feet, running around the stresses of being in a hospital and then having to come home and be like, all right, time to go and train. What was that experience
that
like?
That was really hard.
Yeah.
I must say, like, my 12-hour shifts are full on. Like, I generally will do about 20,000 steps a day. I wear 10 kilos of lead for majority of my 12-hour shift. So the strain of carrying that around, running around on my feet all day. I tried to train when I got home, sometimes in our little home gym, even if it was just purely doing the three sets of the weight training exercises and I'd skip the circuit, just doing little bits where I could. But how I made it work is I trained harder on my off days. So I would work, I'd go to work, I'd do my 12-hour shift, I'd be gone 14 hours of the day, I'd come home, I'd put my kids to bed, call it a night. And then the next day that I had off, I might do two of the weight training sessions sort of in one. So that's how I sort of made it work for me. I might have done like legs and then I'll do upper body in the same day rather than splitting it across the two sessions. And that seemed to work for me.
Yeah.
Whether that was right or wrong, I don't know.
No. I think what you described is the most important aspect, you know, making it work for you, right?
Yeah.
Of course, in my eyes or some other people's eyes, we might go, okay, well, maybe that's not the most optimal approach, but doing something is better than nothing, right? It doesn't matter if you're the most optimal or subpar or whatever, as long as you're doing something and you're making it work for you, right? And that's the most important factor. So just because in the challenge, we might give certain advice because we're trying to give you the best possible advice, that doesn't mean that you can't make it work for yourself and achieve awesome results like you did making the top 10, right?
Yeah. I just tried to adapt and I might do three shifts 1 week and then I'd have 4 days off. So I'd do all my training, workout one, workout two, workout three, four in my days off.
Yeah.
So it worked for me. And then other times where I had ridiculous weeks where I didn't even have a day spare, I just made time and I tried to catch up on those workouts one, two, and three so that I was working my muscle groups when I could. That's sort of how I made it work.
I like it. I like it. So when you took those steps to make it work, what did you do? Did you just start experimenting? Did you reach out for help on somewhere like the forum or the Facebook group? Or did you sit down with your husband and be like, all right, how are we going to make this work? Like, what did you do to figure out how to make it work?
Yeah. So I did jump on the forums and I watched all of the weekly videos and things that you popped up and that sort of kept me in the loop a little bit. I didn't get on the forums heaps because being super busy, I didn't have a lot of time, but I did read through them every week and make sure I wasn't missing out on anything. And a lot of my questions were answered by other people, which was handy. So I didn't have to sort of keep asking. And then Matt and I'd sit down every week and I'd go, right, I've got these 3 days off. These are the exercises I'm going to do to make sure I'm training all those muscle groups and I'm going to throw in a little bit of cardio on this day. So I just sort of, we live by like a big whiteboard in this house and I throw everything on the whiteboard. So I just throw in my gym sessions and that allocated 1 hour those 4 to 5 days a week where I could train. So we just made it work. It's amazing. Like before I had a gym membership and went to the gym and I was a really busy mum then too, I was like, oh, I don't have any time. Like I don't have any time. But you just have to make time for yourself. If you do want to see those results and if you do want to do really well, a challenge, you just must make that. And, you know, you think it's 1 hour of time for me, like it's okay. So that's one thing that I just tried to do and that worked for us.
I love it. So look, let's talk a little bit about change. And you kind of alluded to it already, but could you tell us a little bit about how your life has changed? Maybe if you were to go back to January before the challenge and then now, could you describe how your life has changed after the challenge?
Well, I must say I've learned a lot about nutrition, listening to all your podcasts and listening to all the advice that came through the challenge. And I've learned a lot about how the body metabolizes food and how weight fluctuations are important because it's so easy to focus on, oh, my weight's up 2 kilos, I'm just going to give up. But to understand why that's doing that, and I feel like that's put me in a better mental place to be able to manage my weight and progress. And also, I'm super excited to eat carbs. So out of all the diets, I've tried everything. And just knowing that, you know what, I can eat a potato and I can have bread, but as long as I'm having it in moderation. And so that's exciting. And being able to cook really like healthy, nutritious food for my family, that's still really yummy. And you feel like living your life and you're not too restricted. So I'm just finding now that I'm following the nutrition plan and then sort of relaxing a little bit on the weekends and then trying to build a little bit more strength, but maintaining my physique a little bit. So that's what I'm focusing on now. But yeah, and also being able to weight train and just incorporating that now into my life, which I didn't before. So making sure that Matt and I do get those couple of sessions at the gym together, and I keep up that strength training, which I think has been super important for my transformation.
I love that. And I like what you said, where your goal now is a little bit of maintaining, following the challenge nutrition plan during the weekdays, then maybe being a little bit more relaxed on the weekends. Yeah. And I think that's the perfect goal to try to strive for at the end, because at the end of the day, we are very unlikely to live our life on a spreadsheet. We're unlikely to live our life following a really strict diet. We need to eventually create the skills to be like, all right, I know that I should be eating a salad today at some point, or I maybe don't need a second serving of dinner today, and making those choices and going, okay, I'm a little bit more intuitively aware of my body needs and a little bit more flexible with my approach, right? That's the ultimate goal to get into, because I know that one day, Beck, you and your husband, Matt, will be in a position where like, oh yeah, let's go out for dinner somewhere, or let's catch up with our friends for lunch tomorrow, and then still make that fit within a pretty healthy, balanced lifestyle where the majority of the foods you're eating are really good foods, but then, hey, you might have an ice cream here and go out and enjoy a glass of wine somewhere. And like, these are the positions that we want to ultimately get into, right?
Yeah, that's right. I feel like it's so easy to let one sort of bad meal roll into the next, roll into the next, and you get into this sort of deep hole where you're like, ah, I'm too far gone now. I might as well just give up. Whereas I feel like being able to follow, you know, the diet plan, I know what I don't even really have to track, to be honest, on the spreadsheets now, because I know I need a serve of protein, I need a serve of carbs. The other thing too is I feel like it just really pulled back to that basic nutrition that our body needs. You need your serve of protein, your serve of carbohydrates, and a plate of your vegetable serve. I feel like it really did just simplify things, like, which has been really good for me to understand that.
Oh, so good. Well, look, Beck, from here, let's talk about advice. So I'm sure many people have come up to you already and said, oh, I want to get fit and healthy. What should I do? Where should I start? These types of things. So if someone was about to start the challenge themselves or start their fitness journey, what advice would you give that person?
So I would definitely tell them to go for it and just jump in and follow the plan. Honestly, don't give up. Just follow the plan. You know, I would suggest drink your water. The days that I didn't drink as much water, I struggled and I felt more hungry. And reach out to the forums for help from the coaches. Like, everyone is so helpful and there's a lot of knowledge there that we can pull from, which I found helpful. Even when you're in that calorie deficit and you are hungry and you are tired and you're really fed up, put yourself to bed and start again tomorrow and just don't give up, because it's the more you can push through those hard barriers, the better results you're going to get. And that's what I found. I didn't give up. And I just every day, even if it was really, really hard, I just distract myself, go to bed early or whatever, brush your teeth so you don't need anything else, and then start again tomorrow. And you'll wake up and you go, yes, I've made it through another day. I'm charged and ready to go. And that just kept me going. I really liked that daily weigh. I found that was super helpful after I watched the weight fluctuations video that was uploaded, and I watched my weight go up and down, but just seeing that trend over a period of time was really good. And also meal prep. Honestly, prep. I felt like if I had everything prepped in the fridge, ready to go, veggie sticks on hand if I got hungry, have all your lunches sort of ready to go a couple of days in advance, so you're not even thinking about it, you're just grabbing it and going. That's what helped me.
So good, so good. I love that advice where, you know, if you're having a crappy day or you're feeling tired, just put yourself to bed and start again. I think I have to steal that advice, and that sounds really good.
I just feel like, and brush your teeth. I felt that was handy, you know. You know, it's 9 o'clock, you don't need anything to eat, you've had all your food, you're probably just tired and you know, you had enough. I just found that Matt and I, we'd like laugh and we'd go, we'd brush our teeth and we'd get into bed and just be like, all right, we're going to bed, we're going to start again tomorrow. That's what worked for us.
I think if you get, like, let's say a minty flavored toothpaste and you brush your teeth and it feels like you just had like a chocolate mint something, and you're like, oh yeah, that's my little sweet
mint. That's right.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Look, Beck, let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you for taking some time and donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. Again, you should be so proud of the results that you've achieved, and I'm sure you've inspired so many people to live a healthier life. So for that, you should be so proud, and thank you for giving everything that you could for the January Challenge and making the top 10.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so lovely chatting with you, and all the best to all the challengers that are taking up the next challenge.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.